Welcome to your High Vibration Life podcast with Robin Openshaw, also known online as the Green Smoothie Girl. When you're living your high vibration life, you're healthier in every way. You're more productive, creative, peaceful, and loving. Your high vibration life is calling. And now your host, Robin Openshaw.
Hi there, I'm Robin Openshaw, your host of Your High Vibration Life, and welcome to episode 6. Last time, we talked about 90 seconds to metabolize, reframe, and release any negative emotion. If you haven't listened to episode 5, you really want to start there. And today, we're talking about that really powerful middle step, the reframe. I believe that it's the big differentiator between the negative folks and the positive folks in life. Those who pluck the good stuff out of all their challenges, you can't release it to the universe and give your pain and your suffering and your sins and your failings back to wherever it came from. You can't release it, truly let it go, until you've metabolized it. You've got to understand what it is so you can use it for fuel. And then you reframe it as the really powerful agent for growth that it is. The funny thing is, my internet career began with a really sort of awful experience. You probably think I'm talking about being 206 pounds and having 21 diseases. And I'm actually not talking about that story that I tell, but I'm talking about a different story when my family and I went on the ABC Disney reality TV show, Wife Swap. And I backed out of it the first time. Turns out later I found out that I was supposed to swap lives with some people in West Virginia who live in a fifth wheel and they're carnies. They run a carnival and they had these three very overweight children and they wanted me to do my green smoothie thing and do it in a fifth wheel. And I didn't know that though. They don't tell you where you're going. So I backed out of it. I really got cold feet. ABC wouldn't let me change the contract. There were two things I wanted in the contract that would protect two of my children that I felt I didn't want them to explore some issues that would be sensitive for them. And so they were giving me resistance on that. And I said, well, then I'm not going to do it. They came back to me a month or two later and they just begged me and they said, okay, we'll change the contract, but you don't know where you're going. And so I had a lot of anxiety about it. I gave my family a big talk before we left. And I said, you just make sure and be who you are, act in integrity and treat her like a queen. Okay. You let her have the master bedroom. You treat her with great respect. And those are my parting words to my family. Well, I went to the inner city in a place where people had bars on their windows and locks on the gates around their houses. And the people ran a government subsidized skate shop. It didn't make any money, but they got money from the government because they were Native Americans serving a Native American population. And all of the kids skated all day in a skate park. Some of them were on drugs. And I actually had a tough experience, but not because of being there. I had a great time with the kids. I taught them green smoothies. Most of these kids had never eaten a vegetable. They had a big barbecue and they said, eat it, eat it. They like chanted like 20 kids and they got me to eat my first bite of a hot dog that I'd had in like 20 years. And so I planted a garden in their backyard. It didn't even have grass in it, but I left there with them having a garden and I tried to teach them the things that were meaningful in my life. But on the other side, the wife who stayed in my home was not very nice to my husband. Party, party, party. When I got home, my beautiful home was full of greasy potato chips ground into the couches. They had made fun of a thing that we did with my youngest son who used to slam the door. They had taken his really nice door off of his bedroom because that's what we did when he wouldn't stop slamming the door and made a big display of it in the backyard and it was broken. The whole place was a big, huge mess. And I came home and I was in tears because my house had been trashed and I really like to keep my home nice and neat. And the meeting across the table with the other mother was, I felt very misunderstood. She mischaracterized the kind of mother I was. It was all in all, it was a very kind of awful experience, probably more so for my then husband than for me. But it was a hard, hard experience to be away from my family and staying in this other people's house. And there were about 13 crew in each home. It was difficult to see my family cut and spliced with editing. All the parts where I laughed at the end of a funny situation when I was in Albuquerque were cut off, and it made me appear to be a different person than I was. A very hard experience. But guess what? Here's what good came out of it. Because of that, ABC told me, people are going to want to learn about this green smoothie thing they've never seen or heard of. They're going to be trying to reach you. What are you going to do about it? And I put up the website, greensmoothiegirl.com. And I put it up, and ABC, Disney, and being on the reality show, and it's aired many, many, many times on Lifetime since then, is not what made my site go viral. It went viral long before the show aired. There was no business motive associated with it. There was nothing for sale there. It was just me telling my story and beginning to blog 9 years ago what had made such a dramatic difference for my family. Not only did I have an amazing time right out of the gate, there's so many people writing me and so many people who wanted help and so many people who wanted to know, well, how'd you do it? How'd you lose 70 pounds without counting calories or dieting? And how did you get rid of 21 different diseases and get rid of all your prescription meds? And so I just started answering questions. I just started blogging. I started sharing my research over the past many, many years, and greensmoothiegirl.com became one of the greatest blessings of my life. I was a college professor and I was a mom, and it really pulled me into an amazing vortex, and it became my career. I didn't set out 9 years ago to be the author of 15 books. I didn't set out when I went on that reality TV show because we were recruited to run a multi-million dollar business that's been a great blessing to my family. And what a great blessing came out of a very, very difficult experience. Now, you all listening to this have experiences like that where you can't see the forest for the trees, but years after a very difficult experience, you look back and you see the amazing learning opportunity. But what's really great about the 90 seconds habit is my sort of hack, my goal is to find that meaning, those golden nuggets in whatever tough thing is happening to me faster and have it not take years where I look back and say, wow, I wouldn't trade that hard experience for the world. I would say that right now to you about my son almost dying. He was on all kinds of steroids, bronchodilators, fell below the fifth percentile for weight. I wouldn't trade all of that for anything because of what it taught me, the kind of person I became, the things I discovered that blessed my whole family's health. But what my goal is to turn on a dime and see the good in something immediately. And that's what happy people do. I believe that is the big differentiator. Just this week, I happened upon a TED Talk by Elizabeth Smart. And if you don't remember who she is, you probably do. But here in Utah, where I live, she was the number one news story quite a few years ago. She's a young woman now in her probably mid-20s. But when she was 14, she was kidnapped by a homeless man. She was taken from her family's home in the middle of the night, marched up a mountain, and forced to go underground in a little shanty built under the ground so that no one could see it, where this man and his common law wife repeatedly raped her. And for 9 months, she was kept in captivity in horrifying circumstances. And what struck me about her TED Talk was that she said, I would not trade that whole terrible experience because of what she's learned from it and the way she's been able to share with millions of other people. There are almost a million views on that TED Talk. And as a very, very young woman, she has become a very accomplished, amazing public speaker, and I'm sure has inspired millions of people. So, to the story that I wanted to share with you, I want to share this story to highlight the power of reframing. My friend Laura is my age, and from my vantage point, it looked like she had a perfect life. She never had to work after college. We both got married young, and we were raising our kids. She had five, and I had four, while she was supported by her husband. And her husband and I worked together right out of college. We both worked in public relations for the same company, and that's where we got to be friends when we were very, very young. But after that, I worked 60-hour weeks. I gutted out a difficult divorce. I had children who I absolutely adore, but they didn't always make choices I liked. Whereas Laura had a wonderful marriage. She had two homes in Costa Rica, another vacation home close by here in Utah. She had picture perfect, tall, gorgeous, smart kids. She had an amazing life. I started playing tennis recreationally with Laura about 8 years ago, right after my divorce. And then both of us joined a club and began to compete. We moved up the ranks together, and eventually she outrated me because, like I said, she was a homemaker and she had spare time, whereas I was an entrepreneur, single mom, working far more than full time. Very recently, Alan, her husband, got pneumonia and he ended up in the hospital. As he came out of the hospital, a doctor friend wanted to see his x-rays and told him and Laura that he had leukemia, but it was a very treatable form. Just days later, they put him on a short course of 24 hours a day chemo drip at home. It was just for a week, and they were told that this cancer was very, very beatable. At the end of that week, Alan's liver, kidneys, and lungs began to shut down. His blood pressure was 185 over 145. His right arm became gangrenous. He had an E. coli infection, and he went into a coma. 3 weeks later, the family had to make a difficult decision, and machines were unplugged, and Alan passed away. I share this story about Alan and Laura because Laura, married 30 years very happily, had told me years before Alan's premature death. She said, either things turn out well, or they make a great story. Now, Laura, my friend, is one of the funniest and wittiest people I've ever known. She has a way with a story. Now, not all of us are storytellers. Not everyone has that gift. So I'd like to add a third option. Either things turn out well, or they make a great story, or what happens to you can be a great lesson, an amazing learning opportunity. Personally, I think I've mentioned this before. I don't believe that everything happens for a reason. Not the way people use that phrase. I don't see God as a puppeteer up in the heavens, engineering every minute detail and taking amazing people like Alan from the arms of his family. Seems to me that if you believe that, you believe in a pretty gruesome God who engineers terrible things happening to people all over the globe to millions of people. But I do like my own reframe of everything happens for a reason, in the sense that we can make meaning of all these tragedies and the mistakes we make in our lives, large ones and small ones. We can, and many of us do. And when we do, we make something very beautiful of our lives. That is a quote that I have in front of me on my vision board. Make something beautiful of your life. And we all find that we are magnetically attracted to people who embody this. We want to spend more time with them. So at Alan's funeral, this was just a few months ago, Laura got up to the microphone. She wasn't on the program, of course. There's no widow who signs up to speak at her husband's funeral after he dies so very unexpectedly and suddenly, but she did speak. There were over 500 people at the funeral, and she said to all of us, "We felt like the luckiest people in the world when we were on the beach surfing at our vacation home in Costa Rica. And we felt like the luckiest people in the world when we had a one-bedroom, cockroach-infested apartment in New York City after college, because we were and we are." Talk about a master of reframe. I hope that you're as inspired by that as I am. You prove who you are in your extremities. Your greatest challenges prove who you are. When the temptation is high to lash out or to take the path of least resistance or to take the road of no compassion, which might be called the low road, or to be reactionary, in the moments that someone shows you anger or selfishness, What happens when you reflect back to them mercy and grace? You can reframe the things that have happened to you for powerful good. In your life and in the life of anyone you tell about it, I'd never tell you stop telling people about what you've been through. But what if you tasked yourself with always ending it with, and the good thing is? This is a great thing to have next to your bed, a gratitude journal where you talk about what really happened to you and don't spare the details, but if you can end it with, and the good thing is, it's an amazing way to end your day. Releasing that negative charge to the stuff that's happening to you, it has to be preceded by metabolizing it, understanding it, and reframing it. It's the same as clearing out the battery acid dripping into your heart. That is what not forgiving is. It's like battery acid dripping into your heart. I want to leave you with a couple of graphics that were done. This is our reproduction of them, but they were researched by the Institute of Heart Math. This is 20-year-old research, but it just blows my mind. And what we want to show you, I'll put it in the show notes, is an ECG of a human being for 8 seconds when you are feeling gratitude. Okay, I want you to go look at them in the show notes and take a look at what the vibration of gratitude looks like. It looks exactly like it feels. Take a look too at the other graph with the same exact person spending 8 seconds in anger. And look at what it looks like, because it looks like what it feels like. I think this is a really good graphical representation of what energies are as they attach to our emotions. So I'm going to see you in another week. And I've invited some of my friends who are thought leaders. You will know some of their names, but they've come through low vibration times of their life to get where they are. And most of them say, I would not trade that experience for the world. I'm not just going to ask them what their serious challenge was and to tell us briefly what that story was. In some cases, we're talking about life-threatening crises. I'm also going to get from them what the reframe is. What are those gold nuggets? What are those takeaways? What are those things that will be of use to all of us? What have they learned about how to protect their own high vibration now that they've moved out of that low vibe place and found amazing success and happiness? So I want these interviews to be valuable in your own quest, your quest for your high vibration life. So till next time, be well and be happy. See you then.